You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband, let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray and you get a whole service just on
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. This week, it's Telstra's Now You See It, Now You Don't, Now You See It Again iPhone. There's still a few days to July 11, the day Apple's penultimate portable gadget hits the streets here in Oz. So who knows what's left in store? Also today, what do you think would happen if you grabbed a megaphone and walked into a National Australia Bank and bellowed to the world that you had some free tickets to the footy game and you wanted to give them away? Chances are you'd be escorted from the building in a matter of moments and told not to do it again, maybe even charged with many possible offences, including trespass, right? Well, this week, the shoe is on the other foot. Some bright spark in the National Australia Bank's PR department decided to gatecrash social networking sites, uninvited of course, and spruik their free football tickets to those chats they could muscle their way in on. Well, there has been plenty of fallout over this, and the NAB's popularity and reputation was the first casualty. Not only was the NAB's actions felt here, but the tsunami waves rolled across the planet to the United States and beyond, as Lydia Davis, our US correspondent, will report later on today's show.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Firefox 3 may break records and the first vulnerability surfaces. Microsoft re-releases security fixes. Apple's open for business in Sydney. Safari gets a tune-up too. And developers shun Microsoft Vista. First up, though, here's the latest happenings from the Tech Talk News Desk with Graham Callaghan.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, confusion over Telstra's iPhone plans. Australia's first Apple store opens in Sydney. Mozilla smashes its target of 1 million Firefox downloads. Rumours abound of a new 60GB Microsoft Xbox. And Melbourne University's fourth most powerful supercomputer in the world. Welcome to Tech Talk News. In a confusing week for Telstra, the on-again, off-again relationship with Apple's must-have 3G iPhone is apparently on again. Insiders are reckoning the 22nd of July will be a likely date for Telstra to commence selling Apple's new 3G iPhone. The love-hate relationship between Telstra and Apple first came to public attention in February last year. Telstra's operations chief, Mr. Greg Wynne, unleashed a blistering attack on Apple, calling its iPhone old hat. Speaking to AAP at the time, Mr. Wynne's now infamous stick-to-your-knitting remarks alienated Apple and its loyal followers and seemed to dash any hope of a business relationship in the future. When the 3G iPhone was announced last week, Optus and Vodafone were quick to promote themselves as Apple partners and flagged their intention to sell the new high-speed device. Telstra was notably silent and refused to comment on whether it would or wouldn't be selling the new iPhone. On Monday last week, ZDNet reported that the national carrier was remaining silent over speculation that Telstra had derailed a deal with Apple to resell the device and that negotiations had failed over disagreements on whether the device would come preloaded with census content. But on Thursday, an article published by Australian IT indicated that Telstra would be selling Apple's new iPhone, albeit 2 weeks behind rivals Optus and Vodafone. While Telstra is maintaining its corporate no-comment policy, insiders say that the telco will now go ahead and sell the device. In other Apple news, the long-awaited Apple Store opened in Sydney last week at 5 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. The $15 million George Street complex features 700 square metres of glass enclosing its atrium. It's the 215th Apple Store to be launched worldwide and the second largest in the world after London's Apple Store in Regent Street. While the ground floor is devoted to the company's core Macintosh computer line, the first floor features mobile devices including 60 different iPods. Hundreds of Apple enthusiasts lined the streets prior to the store's opening and were greeted by enthusiastic, uniformed staff when they finally made their way inside. Apple has hired 125 employees for the new store, many employed in customer service roles. Apple plans to open two smaller stores in Australia later this year, one in Chatswood in Sydney's north, and the other in Melbourne's Chadston shopping centre. As reported on Tech Talk Radio last week, the Mozilla Foundation was attempting to set a new world record by hitting 1 million downloads of its new Firefox 3 web browser in just 10 days. The download recording period officially began at 11:16 a.m. US Pacific Daylight Time on Tuesday last week. Within 14 hours, Mozilla had reported over 5 million downloads, with the number still rising. Hotspots accounting for more than 100,000 downloads include the United States with over 2 million, as well as Canada, Brazil, the UK, France and Spain. Australia did well on a per capita basis with over 83,000 downloads. Firefox is a free, open-source web browser for Windows, Mac OS X, and Linux operating systems, and currently represents about 18% of all browsers in use worldwide. According to UK website Trusted Reviews, a new version of the Xbox 360 could launch at the E3 Games event in the United States next month. The move could see Microsoft eliminate the current 20GB model in favour of a 60GB version, in response to the rise of Sony's PlayStation 3 and the continued dominance of the games console market by the Nintendo Wii. Analysts are speculating that the E3 Expo might be the perfect venue for Microsoft to make the announcement. Microsoft's games consoles have been under increasing pressure from an increase in sales of PlayStation 3, attributed largely to the success of the game Metal Gear Solid 4. E3, formerly known as the Electronics Entertainment Expo, is a trade show for the computer and video games industry, held annually in the United States. And finally, the University of Melbourne is calling for expressions of interest for the construction of its Life Sciences Computation Centre. The heart of this ambitious project will be a 400 teraflop computer costing $100 million, which will rank number 4 on the top 500 supercomputer list as it stands today. Victoria's state government has guaranteed $50 million for the project, ensuring that major supercomputer vendors like IBM and Sun Microsystems will be bidding for the business. With a performance of 400 teraflops, or 400 trillion floating point operations per second, the yet-to-be-built supercomputer would rank number 4 on the top 500 list, behind IBM supercomputers housed in the United States, used by the Department of Energy. Professor Glyn Davis, Vice-Chancellor of the University of Melbourne, said that as part of the initiative, the university will develop a life sciences computation centre to provide computational biology expertise to the institutions throughout the Melbourne Parkville precinct. Tech Talk News was compiled by Dr. Ron. I'm Graham Callaghan, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra has served Optus with a notice from its legal department questioning its rival's ability to provide adequate service for the newly released 3G iPhone.
It's just a case of sour grapes.
We got slapped. I'm going to slap somebody else.
Yeah, pretty much.
One guy that had such a great collection of vinyl records that he had to get his house restumped.
Huh, I can believe that.
They achieved everything they set out to achieve, and they even unblocked the toilet.
But we won't go there. You remember how I... Oh, we will go there, actually.
Oh, and it's hit...
Oh,
we've got a winner.
The whole tablet form factor, that sort of came and went with PCs, didn't it?
There's some smart cookies out there using their skills for evil rather than good.
Stop looking at my laptop in that tone of voice.
Sorry.
I download it without having to reinstall iTunes?
Probably not.
No. All right, go on.
And I guess Apple's way around that is, well, we've got GPS for when you're outside and we've got triangulation when you're inside.
This is the trench directly underneath where the rocket exhaust gets diverted sideways.
They might trust him more than the other player.
Give me a break.
What are they doing?
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Here we are again, another Tech Talk Radio. Hello, I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me, two very willing and maybe able gentlemen, Dr. Ron and Graham Callaghan. Good evening to you both.
He's willing and I'm able.
G'day, hey, Andrew. How are you going? Yeah, good. Thank you very
you've
much.
Been talking to. How's your week been?
Yeah, so far so good. It's very early in the week. I've had lots of coffee, so we're off to a good start, I think. But yeah, anyway, a very busy tech week this week. How's your week been?
Very
You're on
busy.
Holidays still,
busy,
aren't you?
Oh, I'm always busier on holidays than I am when I'm actually working.
I know. Again. Right. I know. When he's not around, he's not around. And when he's around, he's everywhere.
Around like a wristhole. And we had a successful night of Linux hacking last night, Graham and I did.
Oh, we really did, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was good.
We upgraded a very, very old Red Hat Linux server.
Did you?
Oh, we didn't upgrade it at all, actually. We just completely replaced it.
That's right. Yep.
It sounds like a nerds convention, really. People will be turning off in droves.
It was.
That's exactly what it was.
We absolutely
came around to have an install Linux night. So.
Yeah. Speaking of nerd conventions, did anyone see the Apple opening in Sydney?
I didn't get to see it, but apparently there were people lined up for miles out the front waiting to get in.
All nerds.
Were they?
Oh, yes.
What, worse than us?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? We haven't got any bowl haircuts, have we?
Yeah, we're pretty bad.
Actually, yeah. Well, dear. Anyway, no, very interesting week. We'll talk about that very shortly. Lots of correspondence. Firstly, we apologise about the newsletter today. We don't know what went wrong. We had a meltdown somewhere.
Well, thank you, everybody, who brought our attention
to the
problem.
It's nice to know that a lot of people like reading our newsletter. That's all I can say.
We started replying to each one saying, thanks, we'll get onto it. And then after the 128th one rolled in by 10 a.m, we thought, we'll just stop replying to these emails.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it?
Thank you for your efforts.
Thanks, everybody.
Yes.
Yes, some interesting correspondence in this week, too. Dr. Ron, you want to kick off this week?
Lots and lots of feedback. We've got our Tech Talk Radio Facebook group. It's doubled to 20 members. From last week. We can do better than that, guys. Come on, if you're a Facebook user, search for the TikTok Radio group and sign up there. It's kicking along. We've got some feedback from regular forum contributor and Facebook groupie TD. TD says, hi, guys. Whilst watching the TV last night, I nearly fell off my chair after seeing an advertisement for Telstra's Next G product where they are asking people to sign up for a 36-month plan.
Oh, yeah.
36 months, he says, with 18 exclamation marks. What planet are they on? I think I might...
The broadband department's
personally, he's gonna
pushing this marketing...
He's going to hang out for the 48th month plan, TD, which is good. Keep up the good work. Love the show.
Interest-free.
Thanks, TD. What do you reckon?
Thanks,
three,
TD.
3 years?
3 years. I mean, if you think back 3 years, what was mobile broadband like 3 years ago?
Non-existent.
That's right. And, you know, to be stuck on something, you know, a three-year-old plan when prices have come down in 3 years' time with a bit of luck, you know, that's not good.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Not good.
We've always been saying on this program, we've been recommending that people see if they can buy handsets outright, see if they can limit the amount of time that they're actually
absolutely, even your
signed
iPhone.
Up with somebody.
You're going to buy an outright iPhone? You're going to buy an iPhone, Dr. Ron?
I don't know. I'm very tempted, though. I like the price point. I think
we can talk about JD tonight because he's not here.
Yeah. JD sends his apologies this week. Now, Mark asks, read the empty today tonight on TikTok Radio email. If the email's empty, does that mean there's nothing on tonight? No, that doesn't. It's not what it means, Mark. Jeff Gates reports. Hi, Jeff. I got a new HD channel.
Yeah, g'day, Jeff. We haven't heard from Jeff for quite some time.
Superchannel.ca/series.
I had a look at this website. They're very lucky in the United States what they get on their cable. Probably damn sight better than what we get on our cable.
It shows quite a few Australian shows all in HD.
Underbelly being one of them.
And Sea Patrol. I know you guys are sometimes talking about
Sea Patrol.
Shows.
What's Sea Patrol?
I thought I'd return the favour from
Sorry,
Jeff.
Sorry, I'm not watching too much television, obviously. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. That's good.
Sea Patrol's like Blue Heelers, but with boats.
It's okay.
And on Channel 9. It's no.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Underbelly's very good, though.
Underbelly's very good, yep.
That's because we originate, our program originates from the place in which that city was part of Underbelly, really, wasn't it? Very interesting about, organised crime in the city. Go and have a look. I wonder if you can get that thing on.
The controversial thing is that owing to a Supreme Court order, we're not allowed to actually broadcast it.
Oh, sorry.
What?
No, we can talk about it.
Can we talk about it?
It's legal to talk about it.
I didn't check the legal mailbox this morning when I walked in.
It's still illegal to show it here in the city that it was set in.
I believe so, because there are court cases which are still pending, and appeal periods which are yet to expire and such things.
But you can drive 3 hours due north, cross the border at Echuca Moama,
and watch it legally.
And buy it on DVD.
Correct.
Yeah. It's good, huh?
The Tech Junkie says, hey team, just writing to put my 2 cents worth in regarding GPS systems. I live about 15 kilometres north of Warrigal, which is down in Gippsland. I find the best GPS I've used for both city and country is my Nokia N95. The so-called top-of-the-line in-car systems don't have a lot of the country roads once you get off the highway, whereas the N95 will find places the Navman hasn't even heard of.
Is that right?
He talks a bit here about the software. He reckons it's best to leave it on, and the acquisition time is obviously a lot less if you need it in a hurry.
Yeah.
He recently upgraded his firmware to the latest version, and it's now working much quicker.
That's always a good trick with those sorts of devices, is to keep the firmware updates.
Keep everything updated.
Yep. I'm surprised about the map thing, though, because as far as I knew, and I'll stand to be corrected on this.
Don't start.
As far as I knew, all of the GPS devices in Australia all used the same underlying map data.
Oh.
Like, they've all bought the maps from the same data source, and they've put their own overlays on top of it, but they're still using the underlying data for what road is where. It comes from the one original census map, as far as I knew.
Well, Tech Junkie says that he's now looking at a GPS system using the HEMA mapping system. Is that how you pronounce it? HEMA. He says it's the four-wheel drive GPS system.
Oh, okay.
And he says, this is the only thing better than my N95 so far. So.
Well, there you go. That's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au. Thanks, Tech Junkie, and everybody who's contributed this week.
I'm just being quiet over here because I'm going through my emails. There was one here I wanted to read out, but I've lost it. Isn't that always the way?
It's always the way.
So anyway.
Lost among the hundreds of what happened to the...
absolutely. We'll get to it very shortly. Hey, Firefox 3, who has?
Yes, yay. I did. Yes,
everyone,
absolutely.
Yeah, yep. I must admit I put it on. I was one of those 8 million.
Yes, so was I.
That's a huge amount.
I was two
amount.
Of those 8 million, I think.
Two, were you?
They did well, didn't they? They did extremely well. They hit their number and doubled it and tripled it and quadrupled it.
And they've gone for the Guinness Book of Records. And I must admit, let's put records aside. What do you think of the browser, boys?
So far, I like it.
I like it.
It's faster, isn't it? Have you seen how quick it is?
It feels fast. It's user interface changes are quite nice. The little drop-down list for what websites you've gone to has got a lot of extra information on it now instead of just the web address.
What do you think about... Yes, that annoys me. But that's just me. I've got to get used to it.
It annoyed me initially too, but I'm starting to see that it might have its advantages. So
yeah.
It's got the title of the web page in it as well. So when you pull down that little arrow where you type the address to see what you typed last time, it's got as well as just the address of the page, it's got, title of the page and all that sort of stuff on it as well, so.
Yes, I like it. The only downside that I noticed, which was initially a bit of a bummer, was I use Google Sync to sync my browser and my web pages from machine to machine, whether
right.
I'm at the office, on the laptop, wherever I am. And that version is not supported any longer in Firefox 3.
Ah.
But there's a good alternative out there. Of which I think it's called Foxmarks off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm using that now, and that's really good too. So it works. When one door closes, others open. But when I first started loading it up, I thought, oh, here we go. Got plugins to load up. Wonder which ones aren't going to work, which ones are. And everything worked except for the Google one, and a bit of research online found that, hey, Google aren't supporting Firefox 3 with that. And I thought, oh, that's strange for the big G. But nonetheless.
I had a problem with a problem. Let me speak in English.
A problem with a problem.
Yes.
There's a tautology, really. You had no problem at all.
Didn't have a problem at all.
We're in really up the creek.
My Delicious plugin stopped working.
Oh, you and your social network sites?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? What? Why did it stop? Not compatible?
Not compatible. And it checked for updates, but there wasn't an update available.
Come on, Delicious.
Those sorts of updates will be rolling out fairly quickly, I would imagine.
Pressure's on, isn't
it?
Yeah.
The developers of those projects will be under pressure. Now, I had a slightly different problem with one of mine, because quite a while back I tried one of the beta versions of Firefox 3. And didn't like it because of some of the problems that still hadn't been fixed in it, and went back to Firefox 2. Now, when I loaded the real Firefox 3, I was missing some bookmarks. And what it had done is, because the way it stores bookmarks changes between version 2 and version 3, it had imported my bookmarks and turned them into a version 3 bookmark store. And then I'd gone back to version 2, I'd added more bookmarks to my version 2 bookmark store, but when I installed the full version of version 3, it only had the bookmarks that it imported the first time.
Have you found them all now?
Yep. There's a how-to on the Firefox page. You just search for missing bookmarks. And
that may explain something that happened in mine, because I've lost a few. I'm sure
yep,
I've lost.
That'll be what's wayward. Happened. Yeah. You'll be able to go back. What you do is you just delete the file where it stores the Firefox 3 bookmarks, and it'll re-import them again from the Firefox 2 bookmark store. So, do a search on the Mozilla site for missing bookmarks, and it'll help you out with that. This is only for that issue if you've had a beta and gone back to version 2, and then the bookmarks you put in after that will have gone missing when you finally upgrade to 3.
Very good. Foxtel debuted HD in their little arrangements just recently.
Foxtel being cable network, cable television supplier in Australia.
Exactly. There's been a lot of ho-hum about all this sort of stuff. And
Foxtel, yeah, I'd be ho-humming. Is it real HD or is it Foxtel HD?
Well, yes, it's a very good question you asked. Yeah, personally, I haven't seen it.
Foxtel standard definition looks like it's been sent through Real Player or something. It's, yeah.
Yes.
Don't start me.
I thought that's where it was served by a Real Player server. Yes.
Mm. But I tell you what, real high-definition television, when looked at on a real high-definition set without any too much compression, looks absolutely fantastic. And I hate to say that most methods of transmission these days, excluding Blu-ray, makes HD look like standard def in a lot of respects. So if you can notice the difference at home between HD and standard def, you should see a real HD picture. It's like looking through a window. It really is. So, but anyway, Foxtel did a little bit of a debut the other day, so you can now get 720p and 1080i down the Foxtel cable, allegedly. But once again, that's a standard. We should talk about that, actually, because do you know what
the differences are? Did it have a little asterisk beside the claim with a little footnote in small type saying our network is able to support this, but we won't be supporting this, and written and authorised by Foxtel Incorporated?
Someone sent us a very interesting email about
definition
Foxtel
of
and
high definition
recently. Do you remember that?
What did they send?
Someone sent us a very Foxtel-ish sort of offer. Someone made an offer in Foxtel. Was that you?
No.
Oh, okay. Forget what I just said. Edit that out of the podcast.
They emailed.
Okay.
They emailed it to us, did they?
Someone sent a very funny Foxtel email. One of our listeners sent us a very funny Foxtel email.
Oh, yeah,
someone's offer and to take your
very,
offer.
It
go
very rude.
And do something with your offer.
Stick it where it fits. Yeah, we'll find
that
one.
But that's the sentiment. The reason why I brought that up, because now I'm glad you remember that, because the reason why I brought that up is because a lot of people don't think highly of the technical quality that comes down the Foxtel cable. And I still don't think you can get Channel 7 there, although there's rumours that you might be able to get 7 free to air on it very shortly. This is the digital channel anyway.
Yeah, right. you get it, but it's a copy of the analog, not a copy of the digital.
Okay. Mm. Hey, I bought a new toy on the weekend, but before we go there, let's just talk briefly about 720i and 1080. 720p
and 1080i.
Do you know the difference between all these sort of broadband specs? Because a lot of people just don't know what the numbers mean. Do you know what the P stands for? Do you know what the I stands for?
I do. I know what they stand for. I've got a bit of an idea as to what they mean, but I'm not an expert in the field. I know I is for interlaced.
That's correct.
P is for progressive.
Progressive, yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's very good, Dr. Ron.
You're going to ask me to explain those terms now, aren't you?
No. Well, it's quite easy to explain those terms. Back in the good old days, when television was but a lad, and also monochrome. Do you remember black and white?
I do remember black and white. We had a black and white TV when I was a young'un.
Yeah, absolutely. What used to happen is they used to put this vacuum tube in front of you and they put phosphor on it and then throw electrons at it through a vacuum and it would glow. That was the principle behind television. Okay, and this electron beam would go to line one, line two, line three, all the way down to line 525 or 625, depending upon which country you're in. But the problem was the phosphor didn't glow too long. You know, when your little electron beam hit it.
No, by the time it started in the top left corner of the screen and ended in the bottom right corner of the screen.
It was all dark.
By the time it had gone
in the top
through, the very start had finished. It had faded away.
Now, that was the first attempt at progressive television. Yep. One to the bottom line, 525 or 625, in a progressive manner.
So it just starts at the start and ends at the end.
Yeah, so do this, everybody. Sit in front of you, grab your hands, and put your fingers in between each other. And you can actually see the lines of your fingers go in between one and each other.
Yep.
Now, that is called interlace. You're interlacing your fingers. Now, what happens to overcome this problem? The engineer said, well, let's do all the odd lines first and then come back and do all the even lines. So the ripple wouldn't go up and down the screen.
Yeah, so even though the first lot of lines would fade out, they wouldn't be all bunched at the top of the screen. They'd be evenly spaced down the screen.
Exactly.
And there'd be another line right beside it that had just been lit up.
That's exactly right. And hence the word interlace. So there's the I.
So it scans all the odd-numbered lines, and then goes back to the top, scans all the even-numbered lines, and then goes back and starts again.
Absolutely. And that's the interlace. And
how many times does it do that a second?
Well, you talk about each. The odd numbered lines would be one field, the even numbered lines would be a second field.
Right.
So you talk
it's
about
25
50
frames,
fields per second.
25 frames in
which
a second.
Makes 25 frames in a second. So the two scans takes a 25th of a second.
That's in PAL. If you're listening to us in the other parts of the world, it's 30 frames.
Yeah, or 29.99996.
Yeah, we round to 30 in this program. So anyway, that explains progressive and interlaced. Now, your computer
screen, 720 and the 1080, that's the actual number
of horizontal
lines.
Hey, that's exactly right.
Gotcha.
Now, in true high definition, we have 1080i which is 1080 interlaced, or you can have 1080p, which is progressive. But no one really does 1080p. It's a bit tricky for the guys, a bit hard to do. So the best you're probably going to get, well, your Blu-ray will do 1080p. I think the new Blu-ray stuff really pushes the...
And if your screen will do it.
If your screen will do it. That's the thing, if your screen will do it. So when you go shopping for these great new television, these whiz-bang things, and everyone goes, yes, it's truly HD compliant. Well, firstly, you want to make sure you can get 1080 lines out of it, which is 1080 horizontal lines. And by the way, do you know how many pixels wide it is?
No.
No? Well, here we go. They're 1920 pixels by 1080 pixels.
Oh, yeah.
So if you get a crayon out, a very, very big sheet of paper, and draw 1920 dots across the top, and then draw 1080 dots down the side, that's the resolution of high-definition television.
So all these numbers are making, they've got some significance to me, because when you set resolutions on computer monitors, you can have 1280 by 1024.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Ron.
Resolution.
Do you like the resolution of your computer screen? Do you think it works really well?
No,
it's nice and sharp. Oh, no, actually, you got CRTs. Forget that.
Yeah, forget me. Go to Graham.
Exactly. Graham?
Mine's nice and sharp, yeah.
Actually, well, you're looking at a progressive image on your computer screen.
That's right. And I'm looking at a very fast progressive image, too. I'm looking at 60 hertz, too.
Yeah. And if you actually put a video or a DVD onto your computer screen, it doesn't look awful.
It
looks soft
yes.
and furry and yuck, yes. whereas it looks reasonably good on your television set.
Although, my DVD on my computer screen, although it looks soft and furry and yuck compared with, a digital camera photograph that I've taken, it looks sharper on my computer screen than it does on my television.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep, good. All right, now let's get back to Foxtel.
Back to Foxtel.
720p. 720 lines progressive is what they're touting that they'll be broadcasting. And they've also said that they will be supporting 1080i as well.
Now, just for comparison, if 720 lines progressive is a high definition picture, how many lines in a standard definition picture?
625 in PAL.
Okay.
So it's not that much difference.
What about, and that's the same in standard definition
and
digital?
This is the pseudo high def that they talk about, in true HD.
So there's not a big difference between 600 odd and 700 odd.
No, just progressive and interlace.
Oh, okay. So effectively, yeah, so that makes it look twice as sharp.
Yeah, twice as sharp, but not as many lines.
Ah. Okay.
So there you go. Yep. So without getting too complex, does that explain how all the numbers work and the I's and the P's and
it does.
All that?
It does.
So now when you go shopping and the salesman says, it does HD 720, but you go, but it doesn't do 1080i. Next week we'll talk about HDMI and things like that. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron Graham Callaghan, Andrew McComb, and we are going on a little bit this evening, but that's all right. That's what we do here on Tech Talk Radio.
That's what we do.
Before we go to the break, Microsoft are going to re-release some security fixes. Now, this is a bit of a whoops, isn't it?
Re-release security fixes.
I've never heard of re-releasing security fixes. Like, what happened the first time, Microsoft? Patch their patches, too, right. Microsoft has reissued an ineffective security patch it released earlier this month. My machine was updating today, actually.
Hopefully they've issued an effective one, not reissued an ineffective one.
It's like a defective notice, really, isn't it? Put a yellow canary on your...
On your operating system.
That's it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Can be taken to the nearest IT repair store only.
Absolutely. Within 7 days.
That's right.
Oh, dear. The company posted an update to its bulletin, which they have these little bulletins and things like that.
Yep.
The patch was meant to address a remote code execution vulnerability in Windows XP and Vista, its two flagship operating systems, which has been deemed critical by the security by its security of Microsoft. The original version was patched posted to the 10th of June and was fixed, but Windows 2000 and Windows Server were not subject to either of these security bulletins. So make sure you do your upgrades, is really the moral of the story.
Yep.
Have you done yours recently, Graham? Because mine was whirring away again today with yellow things and please install me before I shut down type sort of stuff. What was that about?
All my workstations I have set to do automatic updates. So they update, even if I forget to go and do it, they do it themselves. And all my servers, I have them download and put the little yellow thing up so that they remind me to install them when I log in to do my other checks.
Your little yellow thing, a canary.
Little yellow exclamation mark thing that sits in your system tray.
Absolutely. Good. So you did it and all was well.
Yep.
Absolutely. Fantastic. It's good when it works.
It is.
They do not work some of the times, which I've experienced.
Just once in a while there's a update that causes a problem, but yeah, you're far more often going to be protected by them. If you don't do your updates, you're very, very vulnerable to attack from spyware and things like that. So yeah, definitely worth doing the Windows updates.
Dr. Ron, you had a wonderful opportunity to speak to one of our panelists from farther afield.
I did.
Lid during the course of the week.
She said to say hello, passes on her regards.
She won't take my calls anymore. I don't know what's going
you
on.
You won't take anyone's call. You turned your phone off and stuck it in the glove box today and and drove your car into a lead-filled underground car park.
I told you why. Now, moving right along.
I did. I caught up with Lydia Davis during the week, and she's TikTok Radio's Silicon Valley correspondent, and she writes blogs and optimizes websites professionally. She knows all about this good stuff. She's got her finger on the pulse when it comes to the blogosphere. And I asked her about her take on the brouhaha at the moment that's surrounding the National Australia Bank.
Well, last week, the National Australia Bank effectively spammed the comment section of various blogs in Australia. Now, this annoys me.
What do you mean they've spammed comment sections? What have they done? Logged onto people's private blogs and just put advertising there on in the blog comments or something?
What they did was, this was actually a thought-out PR plan. And this is another bugbear with me. PR agencies are getting it so wrong. So what they've done is they've said, we've got some news. We want to push that out into the community. Rather than actually contact the blog owners and say, hey, do you guys want to talk to us about this, or would you consider running a competition to give away X product, what they did was they went to all these blogs. They picked one called the AFL Player Spectator Blog.
AFL as in our football down here in Melbourne?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they were giving away free tickets for the Collingwood versus Carlton game to launch their SMS banking service. So what they did was they thought, okay, what we'll do, and they did this. This was a strategy that they, their PR agency, and I don't know who they are, but I really want to say their name, so I'm just going to have to hunt it down, Cox and Inall, they wrote this little message, and this is the message. Hi, guys. NAB is giving away free tickets for the Collingwood versus Carlton game on Saturday afternoon at the MCG. Hop on down to Fed Square tomorrow. This is all to launch a new NAB SMS banking. Thank you. What they did was they just went to various blogs and went, bang, here's our comment. And it had nothing to do with what the blog post was about or what the blog itself was about, because the AFL...
So how did they pick the actual blogs? Why did they think these particular blogs would be relevant?
I think they searched AFL blogs because that's what they were talking about. They figured, okay, we'll just do a Google search. This is, in fact, how the guy tracked them down. Someone had gone and done a Google search on AFL blogs and been sent to his webpage or to his blog. And this is all they've done. They've gone and searched AFL blogs, not read them, not actually found out who the person is, and just gone, bang, this is our message, read it. And they've left it on any old post. So, you know, whether the post has got anything to do with them or not is irrelevant. And that's so wrong, because from the blogosphere, this is considered spam. This is not considered a good way to promote or market anything.
Lid, we'll follow this with the National Australia Bank closely. Thank you for your input this week. It's very much appreciated.
You're very welcome.
You're listening. Talk Radio.
Nothing like a woman scorned.
NAB, web junk. She wasn't happy.
Oh,
I can understand
me.
That too. It's pretty rude.
All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron Graham-Kelly and Andrew McComb here on the panel this evening. We're going to take our first break for the evening. If you're listening to the 50-minute program, better download the podcast, because there's a lot more to talk about. All right, we've got Adam Turner coming up after the break, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening.
Tech Talk. Any questions? You're all speechless over this.
You've got the most aggressive spam filter.
TikTok.
You're listening.
If you've got the wrong SIM card, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
Tech Talk Radio.
We may have digressed.
The network's probably ready for fibre to the node now.
Telstra has lost the ACCC court case.
They download loss because they can't stand watching it on commercial television.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You are indeed listening to Tech Talk Radio. Welcome back, wherever you might be listening to us, anywhere in the world via any of the wonderful methods of communications we have these days. Podcasting, streams, all sorts of things. It's good like that, isn't
it? Maybe even on the good old-fashioned wireless.
Oh, now there's a thought. What a concept.
Yeah.
That sounds very romantic, really, doesn't it? Listening on the radio.
Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of someone listening to us on the stream a long, 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 long way away, Jeff is in Ohio. Yeah, you just sent us the email through that you read out before.
Oh, about Jeff Gates.
Yeah,
g'day, Jeff.
Jeff Gates. He says, you know, we're talking about underbelly in Melbourne, how people in Melbourne can't see underbelly. He says, that's really goofy about not being able to see underbelly there. Now, what would be really sick would be for me to tape the show here and post it to you guys.
yeah. people have thought of this already, actually, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, it's been done before. I think more people in Melbourne have probably seen underbelly than care to admit, but nonetheless.
We all went into state and watched it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's all good, I'm sure. Thank you. Thanks for the offer, Jeff. Hello to JD, who is listening. He sends his regards.
Another parent-teacher interview, JD. Goodness me, you got lots of kids, haven't you?
I think that's what it was. Yes, we're also Twittering. I'm Twittering on my Twitter device tonight.
I'm good.
RK5075 is the name that I'm using, if you'd like to follow me.
Is anyone saying anything interesting
on
Twitter?
No, somebody told me, a little bird told me, that I have to follow people if I want to see messages from them.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that would work like that. Why wouldn't you just send, you put the @ there and then the person's name and you'd get a message from anyone if they knew what your name was. They should just be able to send you a message.
My Twitter bookmark was one of those ones that went in the Firefox upgrade. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, you can send a message directly, but if they just update their status, you won't see it unless you're following them.
Oh, that's all right. So people can still send me a message.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
But you won't see their status changes when Lydia comes out of the library or whatever it was.
But if you look like someone Leo Laporte in the US, who's very highly respected podcaster and IT
you could follow him.
Person, I have started following him, but he's got tens of thousands of people following him. You wouldn't want to see tens of thousands of messages.
No.
Would you?
No.
If you had that number?
It's a lot.
It is.
Hmm.
But interesting, interesting stuff. Good technology.
Hmm.
And Andrew is yet to be convinced, but...
Yeah, no, it's asking me to sign in again. I can't remember my password anymore. No, I'll do it again later.
That old chestnut.
That's
come on.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of old chestnuts, Telstra. You on again, off again. Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Where are we going to buy the iPhone?
Well, last Friday when I was on air, it looked like they'd missed out and they hadn't managed to do it.
Well, the start of the week, last week they were saying that.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, the 5 o'clock press release comes out, and guess what?
Telstra iPhones.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of weeks late, but at least that means the rural customers of Australia can use Telstra and use NextG, knowing full well that they're going to get...
the world's most expensive phone network.
That's exactly right.
The world's most expensive phone network.
Expansive. You've misread that word again.
I'm sure it's one of those two. I'm not sure which.
So
it's like the uniformed Apple employees. We weren't sure if it was supposed to be uninformed or uniform. I hate those typos. It's a tricky thing, the English language. One little letter and...
It is. One comma in the wrong spot and it can just change the course of history, can't it? Absolutely.
All right then, so Telstra iPhones.
It appears as though Telstra will belatedly jump on the iPhone bandwagon and will offer Apple's 3G mobile device some 2 weeks after rivals Optus and Vodafone make it available to the public. Now, this is only going to do good things for the consumer because it means there's going to be one hell of a price war on the gadget, the must-have gadget
where
for all the Apple files and all those sort of people.
Where you're going to get your iPhone from, you're going to get a Vodafone one or a Telstra one. And, of course, the big difference is the network.
Anyway, bandwidth. It's a big issue in this country, isn't it? Whether it be mobile, whether it be otherwise. Texas, interesting part of the world. George W. comes from Texas.
Big hats.
Yeah, big hats.
I think of Texas.
Lots of broadband.
Hats.
Lots of free broadband.
Oh, really?
Unlimited. Broadband. Unlimited. Is free wrong choice of words, Andrew.
Unlimited
downloads. Until recently, as Adam Turner is about to tell us.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
Time Warner cable users in the US may lose their God-given right to unlimited downloads. Texans have been threatened with download caps and excess usage fees. My heart bleeds for them, it really does. Time Warner Cable has started a riot in the blogosphere by threatening to restrict users to a paltry 40 gigabytes per month and charging them a whopping $1 per gigabyte for excess data usage. This is on a 15 megabits per second service costing $55 a month. As a long-time Australian broadband user, I feel their pain. I mean, come on, Time Warner. 40 gig per month, that's only 1.3 gig per day. How can anyone survive on such rations? Sure, it means practically unlimited email, instant messaging, web browsing, VoIP, and streaming music and downloads, but that only leaves 1 gig a day for other forms of entertainment. How can any civilized person make do with only 10 full-length movies per week or 20 television shows? What if someone wants to download a disk image, a Linux distro, or a bunch of system updates? That's one less movie they can watch that week. Time Warner, can you live with yourself if a customer is forced to pay an extra dollar to download a movie? Do you really want that person's pain and suffering on your conscience? So far, Time Warner Cable is only trialing the new limits on customers in Beaumont, Texas, so it's not too late to fight back. Maybe we can call out the National Guard, or George W. can liberate Beaumont and bring about regime change to protect his fellow Texans' constitutional right to watch Juice 24/7 whilst downloading terabytes of porn. Perhaps it would be easier to find another country with vast bandwidth reserves and invade it, in the name of democracy, of course. Why should the 5% of Time Warner Cable subscribers who use up to 50% of the company's available bandwidth be punished in this way? Why should these people be forced to cough up some loose change if they exceed their monthly limit by a mere gigabyte? Why should they be expected to show a little restraint so there's enough bandwidth for everyone? What is this, communist Russia? Sure, there are some whingers who don't understand the pain and suffering Beaumont's internet community is going through, like those people sucked into signing up for 2-year, 200 megabyte per month plans with $130 per gigabyte excess data charges, or those dodos with free ADSL 2 Plus, which is shaped to 64 kilobits per second after 150 megabytes. Or anyone who lives in a country where the dominant telco can hold the country to ransom because it owns the copper and is threatening to do the same again with fibre to the node. Sure, those people won't understand Beaumont's pain, but that's the price that they pay for living in the third world. In a civilised land like Texas, who can survive on 40 gig per month? I say it's time for a class action. If I was forced to pay an extra dollar to download the latest blockbuster movie the week before it's released in the cinema, I'd be on the phone to my lawyer faster than you can say punitive damages. What Time Warner Cable is doing is un-American. If Texans can't have unlimited downloads, the terrorists win.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I think Adam's the latest customer of Slater and Gordon, don't you think? Bring on a class action. Who is he going to have a class action against, though?
The Texans must look at us here and just laugh.
Hmm.
Yeah, that'd be one way of looking at
this
us over
really
here.
Really is a backwater.
They might cry. Yeah, you poor people over there.
That's, no, they wouldn't.
I don't think Adam's holding back these days. I think he's just not mincing words. Just out it comes. Out it comes. The Dodo, the Telstra. Good on you. I think that's very good. Put it on the table where it all counts, because that's what we do here at Tech Talk Radio.
He stepped outside of his digital living room there to an extent.
He did.
He stepped into the digital computer room.
Really got his goat up, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, he's probably listening to us on his chumby in his bedroom, as he does this time of night.
He was going to do a review of that. Do you know what a chumby is?
What?
He's chumby.
What's a chumby?
Well, I asked exactly the same question, and he just sent me back a URL, like chumby.com.
I asked him a question, and he said, I'm doing the review. Stay tuned.
Oh,
so I think he's going to do something for us.
It's a little like internet radio thing, from what I can see
briefly. A Wi-Fi alarm clocky thing.
Chumby.com.
Right. I think it's .com anyway. Could be wrong. Could be wrong. All right, we're going to talk about Safari after this.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October, 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school. How can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Eddie's got one.
Yeah.
Wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking for the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on E-Pray, you go, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
It goes.
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Everyone listening on the long version, the short version, people probably aren't hearing this by now, but anyway, hey, it's their loss. All righty. As I mentioned earlier on in the program, Apple is their web browser. Safari is by far, in my opinion, one of the best browsers around. It renders graphics very, very nicely.
And you don't have to have a Mac to run it. It'll run on a PC.
Yeah, it's foistware, as Graham would say. It's foisted upon
it
you.
It might even be on your PC if you didn't even install it.
Yeah, just go and check it. You'll probably find in the start box down there somewhere, there'll be a version of...
if you've loaded iTunes in the last 12 months.
Yeah, because it's pre-checked to install. I don't know how they get away with it, but nonetheless they do. Apple has issued an update for the Windows version of its Safari web browser. In addition to minor stability fixes, the update addresses four security vulnerabilities in the browser that range in severity from information disclosure to the ability to remotely execute malicious code. Now, this has always been one of the things that Apple have been criticized for, not having any of this sort of protection stuff on there, like pop-up blockers and things like that.
Mm.
Never before they probably had the need for it, but nonetheless, I guess they probably would be now. I wonder if you can run plugins on. I've never really looked. Can you run a plugin
on Safari?
I'm sure you could.
I've never used Safari. We need JD here.
Someone will tell us. Yeah, we're twittering. We're emailing. Just send us one. Anyway, the company is advising all Windows users to install the update, which can be attained through Apple's Foistware software update service or by visiting the company's download site. The
is update that what it says?
No. Oh. The company does not affect Mac users. Yes. The most notable of the four security fixes is the so-called carpet bomb. Have you heard of a carpet bomb? It's a condition disclosed by Microsoft earlier this month. The flaw could potentially allow malware within the website itself to designated by Internet Explorer as a trusted site to run on it without the user's input.
Sounds like something the US Army would use in
carpet bomb, yeah.
Iraq
they used to do those things in some strange countries when they declared war on them. Hmm. Yes. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Interesting.
Now, on the other side of the coin, Microsoft. What's happening with IE8? Who knows?
Who cares?
Who knows? Oh, really? You Next. Like that, is it?
Yep.
Okay,
good. Install Firefox.
Firefox. Yeah, spreadfirefox.com.
Well, I must admit, as a web developer, I find the frustrations with Internet Explorer very frustrating. It does some very strange things. No wonder you need a style sheet all by yourself, because Microsoft does, the IE does have a mind of its own, I think.
Yeah, well, there was some talk that IE8 was going to address some of those issues and make
Explorer
much more standards compliant. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be a novelty, wouldn't it?
Well.
But anyway, developers are shunning Microsoft Vista. Who would have thought?
Uh-huh.
Analyst house Evans Data has released statistics showing that less than 1 in 10 developers are writing applications for Microsoft's work-in-progress operating system, Vista. I added that bit too, because that's what Bulma said. It was a work in progress.
Microsoft is shunning Vista.
Yes, yeah. Windows 7. Bring it on.
Yeah, that's
it's only 12 months ago.
Don't look at Vista. Look over here at the new Windows 7.
The Evans Data Spring 2008, the North American Development Survey found that 8% of developers are working on Vista applications, compared to nearly 50% on XP, which Microsoft will be ceasing selling on June the 30th. Did you know that?
They're going to stop selling it.
Apparently.
Next week.
Apparently.
Wow.
I don't know how that's going to affect people, because I think there's a lot of people out there that love their XP.
It's
going to
make a lot of people angry, isn't it?
It's turning into like the Windows 98 of the operating system.
The Windows ME
of 21st century operating systems, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yep.
It's like,
it's just going to be...
I think that's a good way of categorizing it, actually. It will be that, won't
it? Yeah. It'll be a footnote. It'll be the operating system that no one used.
Hmm.
Speaking of collaboratively working on things, this passed my email box recently and I just had to chuckle about it. I'm surprised you haven't grabbed it for the odd spot of the week, Dr. Ron.
Oh, I might have yet. Hang on. Off you go.
The teenagers are using Google Earth to host illegal pool parties. Did you hear about this?
No illegal pool parties in this week's hot spot. No.
Tech-savvy teenagers are using Google Earth to pinpoint private swimming pools for illegal summer parties. Once a suitable venue has been chosen, partygoers conduct the final arrangements over a social networking site, such as Facebook or Bebo. And then the next thing you know, 16 revelers are thought to have gate-crashed two pools near Bournemouth in an overnight party last week, prompting police fears that copycat incidents over the summer month are just going to be
prolific. And now we've told everybody how to do it in Australia.
According to police, pool owners.
Tech Talk Radio users will be jumping in other people's pools in the droves.
Absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, we're in the middle of winter here, so you're pretty safe for a while.
If you want to jump in someone else's swimming pool at the moment in Australia, then good luck to you. It's about 8 degrees today.
But according to police, pool-owning residents have returned from work to find their swimming pool full of beer cans.
I hate it when that happens.
Mm. Don't you? So there you go. I think the youth of today, very, very industrious with what they can come up with, aren't they? I think it's fantastic. Bring it on. More of this, I think we should have. Hotspot, gadget, and website of the week coming up after this.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am.
Residual powers.
And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
motorists need to give fingerprints. Now,
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Phil Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometres.
Don't open things with those good that you're not expecting, even if they do appear.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Blu-ray, baby. It's the way to go.
Absolutely.
LG's BE06 External Blu-ray Burner.
Is this your gadget?
It is.
External burner.
Yeah, I've got the right bit, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry me like that. Now that the format war is over, LG has decided to release an external Blu-ray writer that also supports playback of HD DVD, would you believe?
Oh, okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, this review is from Gadget Zone. LG's BE06 is encased in solid white and black enclosure and comes with a vertical stand. It's got a nice blue flashing light. USB...
Good for some.
Yeah. USB port is located at the rear of the unit for connectivity, along with the DC port for power. The eject button is touch sensitive so that wear and tear on the button is reduced. The system requirements for the BE06 are quite high. LG recommends an Intel Core 2 Duo processor, E6300 or above, and at least a fancy NVIDIA graphics card. They've included a utility to check for compatibility if you're unsure if your system is up to the challenge.
What's it worth these days? I haven't even bought one yet.
The RRP is $549.
Oh, pricey. I wouldn't buy one if you didn't have to.
Especially the price of the discs too. The blanks are still quite dear, I think.
Are they?
I think so.
Well, no, I must admit, the a lot of people, I've even professionally, haven't been asked for Blu-ray at this point in my life, so...
It'll happen.
Oh, I'm sure it will, but at that sort of pricing, I don't think it's relevant.
Still a bit costly, $549.
Even HD stuff would down-convert to standard DVD, because it plays in everything.
And get it onto a DVD.
Yeah.
Look, to read a complete review of the new drive, check out Damien's blog at gadgetzone.com.au. For more information on this drive, go to lge.com.au.
Here it is, everybody, the world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
This week's website was suggested by regular forum contributor and friend of the program, TARDIS3. The website is addictomatic.com.
Should I ask?
A-D-D-I-C-T, addictomatic.com. It's a search engine.
I think Graham's typing it ferociously into his laptop over there.
But instead of displaying the results from the entire web like Google does, Addictomatic returns results from RSS feeds, news sites, blogs, and social media sites. So I searched for Tech Talk Radio, and it returned a heap of results from sites like Dig, Delicious Tags, Google Blog Search, and Life.com News.
Okay.
It even found our video of last week's competition draw on YouTube, because we've got it tagged, Tech Talk Radio. So
Absolutely, fantastic.
It searches all of the current news sites and blogs and social media systems and such things. So that's our website of the week, addictomatic.com.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Shoot. Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
She is big busted, petite, very friendly, and she runs on batteries. A Japanese firm has produced a 38-centimetre tall robotic girlfriend that kisses on command to go on sale in September for around $175, with a target market of lonely adult men. The Age reports, using her infrared sensors and battery power, the diminutive damsel named Emma puckers up for nearby human heads, entering what designers call its love mode. Strong, tough, and battle-ready are some of the words often associated with robots, but we wanted to break that stereotype and provide a robot that's sweet and interactive, said Minako Sakanui, a spokeswoman for the maker Sega Toys. She's very lovable, the robot, not Manago Sukanui. And though she's not a human, she can act like a real girlfriend. Emma, which stands for Eternal Maiden Actualization, can also hand out business cards, sing and dance, with Sega hoping to sell 10,000 in the first year. Japan, home to almost half the world's 800,000 industrial robots, envisages a $10 billion market for artificial intelligence in a decade.
There's a million and one lines there, Dr. Ron, but we had to sit silent and do absolutely nothing. Thank you very much for such a...
I had to keep a straight face through the whole thing.
Yes, sat there, faders down. you have been listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, myself, Andrew McComb. Next week, we'll do it all again on the same radio station that you're listening to right now, or on the pod, wherever you might be listening, or on the stream.
We'll be hearing, listening to an interview with Eastern Health next week, who have implemented Microsoft's new Office communication server.
Oh, how they're using it and all that sort
of
stuff.
How they're using it, how it's going.
Very good. I look forward to that.
Real live success story.
Fantastic. Till then, same time, same place. See you soon.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panelists Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.